Good evening. It's a pleasure to see everyone out this evening to come and worship God in spirit and truth according to His Word, not any feelings or opinions or personal beliefs, but we can open up God's Word and see how He wants us to worship. And that's what we've come to do. In case you're mistaken, you are in the Church of Christ, the church that you can read about in your Bible. We are not a denomination. We are anti-denominational, undenominational, non-denominational. Not as in effect as the world says. We don't believe that you can just come over here and do nothing. You must do something. Realize that you were in an error and change yourselves before it's everlasting too late when you come to the Church of Christ. Don DeHerty did a magnificent job. If you were not here the last hour, I encourage you to get the tape or the DVD of it so you can understand exactly what the Church of Christ is. It's the church you can read about in your book, the Bible. And we encourage each one to do just that. I certainly love this congregation. I appreciate you, the elders, for allowing this lecture to go on, the lectureship of this type to continue in this year after year. We certainly appreciate it. You had a hand in my support at the Southwest School of Biblical Study, and because of that, we are trying to change the face of South San Antonio. We're trying to change that little area of 1,600 people in my town, and we are trying to make Christians out of every one of them. There's not one soul in Natalia that we don't care about. And we're trying every way that we know how to preach God's word and to bring it before people and make them make a decision before it's everlasting too late. And the encouragement goes to you all, and you have a hand in that because you help support me in the school of preaching. I encourage you to continuously support your preacher, continuously give him the things he stands in need of to be able to do God's work in this area. I want to tell you how much we appreciate HD. He has a talent to preach God's word. He sets himself to memorize God's word, and he comes up here every week, week in, week out, without notes. I don't care what you say, Jim. Be quiet. HD needs to be appreciated right now. Just be quiet back there, Morgan. That's not easy. It takes some time. I know I can't memorize mine, but I probably could if I spent as much time as he did. And I don't want you to underestimate the time and effort that goes into him doing that to be able to present God's lesson to you. Certainly, I've been placed in between two Dons, Don DeHerty and Don Walker. Certainly appreciate the opportunity. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 is where we'll be at when I get through with my last set of comments. And that is, of course, always to the Tullers. What they do for the brotherhood is a service that will not be known until we get to heaven. People are going to come up and hug their neck and say, I'm here because of what you did. We appreciate them so much giving of themselves in that way, and they are to be recognized for it. Give them a pat on their back and tell them how much you appreciate it. Buy some of the DVDs if you have opportunity to and continue to study from these great lessons that are being presented. To the Weed family, I thank you for putting up with me and my wife and my two children. We certainly have grown to love and appreciate both you and your lovely children. May God bless you always in the things that you do. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 is where we're going to look at. First Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. Let's talk about the power of the Bible. The Bible says here, and I'll be having all my quotations from the New King James Version, and so if we differ, that will be the reason why. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the heart, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man has always been intrigued with power. There is the horsepower of automobiles that guys like to sit around and talk about. That just kind of revs them up when they hear about the power of the automobile. Sunday after Sunday, during the season which is known as the NFL, man goes home and sits in front of the TV so that they can see the powerful two men clash heads and see which one of those titans will win the game week after week. Of course, there's the power of a locomotive or an airplane that man has often been intrigued with. Man has so much been intrigued with power in our time on earth that we went on to create an all-powerful being known as Superman. faster than a locomotive, more powerful than or faster than a speeding bullet or something like that, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. But he was Superman, and he's still brought before us even this day. That's how intrigued we've been with power. Superman sells. He's in the movies, he's in comic books, and they have not stopped selling because man has always loved power. The understanding of the power of the Bible, though, is essential if one is going to have a proper view of the world itself. If one is going to have a proper view of oneself, it's essential to understand the power of the Bible. If one is going to have a proper view of the church, as we've demonstrated earlier in Don's lesson, it is essential to understand the power of God's Word. The Bible, as is stated here, is both living and powerful. That's the vital element that no other book in the whole world, in the whole universe, can claim. There's not a book that can claim that. It is both living and it is both powerful at the same time. Go with me, if you will, very quickly in a journey in your mind back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being or living soul. Body, spirit, and soul. The creating of man, trifold. Well, when you talk about the power of the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, we understand one of the reasons that is clearly depicted here and why the Bible is so powerful. He says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's a double-edged sword. And it can pierce even the division of the soul, the spirit, and the bones and marrow. That's what your body is made up of. And so the Word of God is the only thing in this world that can affect the whole of man. You see, man cannot affect the whole of man. But God's Word can affect your body. It can affect your soul, and it can affect your spirit. You will never come in contact with anything else that it can affect you as a whole person. God understood and God knew that, and that is why God gave to us the Bible. In Psalm 119 and 105, he says that the Bible is a light to man. It lights the pathway back to God for mankind. It shows us that we were created by an almighty creator, and we need to have a desire to reach back home with him, you see. Why? Because home is the place of the heart. We were created from God, and we should have a desire within us to reach back to God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 shows that God is the author of this book called the Bible. You want to talk about why the Bible is powerful? That's one of the reasons right there. God is the author of this book called the Bible. Nothing else on earth is as important as this book, the Bible. There's nothing else that can claim has been written by God except this book called the Holy Bible. Oh, not the Koran. That's not written by God. Has not been written by God. This book, the Bible, can affect man holistically. And the reason why is because it came from our Creator. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 teaches us a truth. He says, all Scripture. Listen to that word. All Scripture. Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 20. All Scripture, everything in between there, is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine. That tells us what is right. You see, the Bible is profitable for doctrine. It tells us what is right. For reproof, that tells us what simply is not right, folks. You see, the Bible is profitable for doctrine, telling us what is right, for reproof, telling us what is not right, for instruction in righteousness, that tells us how to get right. And so if you want to know how to get right, you can go to no other book but this, you see. You don't go to your friend asking your friend how to get right, unless your friend is going to lead you to the book of books called the Bible, you see. It cannot be true unless you can read about it in the pages of inspiration. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4 is talking about. We speak as the oracles of God. We speak book, chapter, and verse. That's what we claim in the Church of Christ. We're different from those denominations, and we are not a denomination, as I said earlier. We are, as he said, the called out of God, and we know the book. We are dependent upon the book. The book is our life. You understand that as members of the church. That's why we sing that song, Give Me the Bible. That's the only reason we sing it. Because it's so important. We would have anything else. We won't have anything else besides the book. We are people of the book. It's that important. Then he goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 17, and not only that, but that the man of God may be complete, perfect, in other words, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so in other words, it tells us how to get right, and it tells us how to stay right. You see, so it's not enough to just get right, but you must stay right. You know that from Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. He says, be thou faithful unto death. And how do we do that? We do that with God's holy book, the Bible. There's the power in it is seen by the creator of it. The Bible is proven to be by God because of its scientific accuracy, because of its foreknowledge, because of the prophecies that have been fulfilled within it. The Bible is shown to be by God because of the uniqueness and the unity of God's word. Over 40 writers over a span of 1600 years, and it all agrees and harmonizes this book called the Bible. That is why we know that it is from God. You know what I once was told what it would be like to try to do that? Texas has happened to be a unique state, as you know. That's why you're here. 800 miles east to west, 800 miles north to south. And they said if you... to make the scientific accuracy of the Bible, you would take quarters and stack them all 800 miles east to west and north to south and stack them up knee high. All quarters. Now just imagine all these quarters. You would paint one quarter red. You would spin a man around and you would drop him down, and instantly within a matter of a minute he would find that red quarter. We know how probable that is. But the fact that the Bible answers prophecy shows that the Bible is from God. It's from God, folks. There's no other person that has come from. Archaeology proves it. The resurrection of Christ from the dead proves that this is a book from God. The Bible, it's all powerful. It's all magnificent. Oh, the sadness of the end of the lectureship is coming, yes. I know we have been enriched and blessed by the word of God being preached. That's what they've been preaching here, not opinions. Not feelings, not personal beliefs. They've been preaching and they've been giving you book, chapter, and verse to show you it was not man that was preaching, but it was the plan of God that was being presented forward to you. That's why we encourage you to take notes and to go home and search the scriptures daily to see if the things that were presented here were so. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a man. I can fail. I'm not infallible. You see, and so we take this book and we go and we search it with urgency. We search it with love. We search it with diligence to see what God would have us to do in this life. The Bible, its power. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 29 presents to us the uniqueness of the Bible, the power of the Bible. When Jeremiah said, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord. It's like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. This is the power of God's word. It's like a fire. Jeremiah would go on to say, you remember, in chapter 20 and verse number 29, it's like a fire that was shut up in my bones, and I couldn't help but be moved by the word of God. Oh, the magnificency that we've had preached from the pulpit. We've been hearing God's word, not man's word. We've been hearing the word of God. Oh, if that can't move you, I don't know what can. I don't know what the number was last quarter here, like 162. But I hope all 162 that heard that lesson that were presented, they had to be members of the Church of Christ. Because if you weren't, I don't know how you were not moved to come forward and demand to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 22:16 says, it washes away your sins. I demand that I be baptized for the salvation, the washing away of my sins. Don't let anybody tell you that all it takes is faith. If so, then the Bible didn't know about it because he says it's not until baptism that your sins are washed away. And so if it just took faith to get to heaven, then you can get there with some sins. That's what you're teaching. You can get there with some sins. But the Bible does not teach that. He says your sins are washed away. How can you not be moved when you hear God's word? Well, I get excited every time I come up here. I have to control myself. My wife's already been back there giving me signs. Calm down, relax, stay down. Yeah, but I have an awesome responsibility. I'm up here preaching Jesus. I'm not preaching Steve. I'm not preaching HD. We're talking about God's word, the Bible. What else will it take to move you? The passion of the Bible. It's like a fire. He said, it's shut up in my bones. And I couldn't help. I was just ready to speak the word of God. Listen what fire does. Fire destroys, folks. Oh, you remember Elijah and the false prophets. Fire came down from God. Nadab and Abihu, fire came down from God and destroyed them. The earth is going to be destroyed by fire, Peter says. Even Jerusalem, the city, was burnt by fire in AD 70. Fire destroys, but that's not all fire does. We have some men probably even here that understands that fire not only destroys, but fire can unite. That's why the word of God is shown to be fire. How can it unite? Well, when something breaks of metal, you know, they got this thing, these men that do this thing called welding. And they take fire and they unite two pieces together. And that weld is strong. And that weld is powerful. And you can beat on it and bend it and try to, and it won't break because fire has united it together. Understand why God's word is said to be a fire. Because it will destroy those who will not live by it. But it will unite those who will. Oh, what a perfect example when we talk about the fire of the Bible. That's why we see in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 10. He says, see, I have set you before or over nations this day, over kingdoms this day. Why, God, why have you set us over nations and kingdoms? To root up, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. But also I've set you there to build up. And to plant. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 is easily seen in this verse. The word of God is what we use to pull down, to pluck up, to destroy. But the word of God is also what we use to build up. Build up nations. Build up individuals. Build up families. Because families are made up of individuals and individuals make up nations, folks. We want to change the world. It's only going to be through the word of God. The Bible is powerful because of who its author is, God, you see. God is the author of the Bible. God is said to be king. In Psalm book 10 and verse number 16, he says that God is king forever. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 4 says that the word of kings has power. And since God is king forever, and his word, this is the Bible, and the king's word has power, then we know, without a doubt, that this book has some power. Oh, we have to understand the Bible. We have to understand what God is saying here. It's powerful because it tells us where we came from. Where else are you going to go to find the origins of man? Man? You going to ask man where he came from? Well, man's a fool. Because man has said that there's big bang happened in the air and man appeared. And some men have said that man have come up off of the line of apes and monkeys. Well, that's foolishness. The world easily shows that there's a creator. And so this book, the Bible, explains to man where he came from. Genesis, the whole first chapter. The book of God tells man his purpose here. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 13. In other words, obey God. You want to know what your purpose on earth is? I'll tell you right now. It's easy. Obey God. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Obey God. We've looked at it all week. He's become the author of eternal salvation to all who what? Obey him. God has always wanted people that obey him. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. Acts chapter 10 verse 34. Excuse me, that we ought to obey God rather than men. God has always wanted men to obey him. Wherefore it is better to obey than sacrifice. You are here for one reason, to obey God. Therein is where God is glorified, when we as his people are obedient to him. And so the question must be asked, have you been obeying God? God says, don't forsake the assembly. Have you obeyed God? Have you? Or maybe this is your first time here this week, but we've been assembling here all week. Maybe you didn't read in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. And so the only reason you could not be here, well, number one, if God required you to work, we understand that for, listen to this, a little while. A little while. We understand that. Why? Because sooner or later you need to make a statement of faith that I need to obey God rather than man, and even to your employer. Because God owns all jobs, because he owns the earth, and he'll give you another job. Quit. I did it. I'm not telling you to do something. I've done it. I quit a job. Couldn't come to serve. That's it. I'll see you. I'm tired of being away from the saints. My brothers and sisters, I have a longing. We're having a family reunion. And I can't be at the family reunion when you have me here all the time. And so I'll see you. We need to build up to there sometimes. And so when we understand that God is going to be here, where else would we be? Don't you love God enough to commune with God and be with God? Have you been obeying God? Because God says a mark of discipleship is that you love one another. John chapter 13 and verse number 34. By this, you ain't got to open your mouth and tell nobody you're a Christian. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. When you love one another, look next to your neighbor. Quit looking up here and look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Do you love the person sitting next to you? Look behind you. Turn around and look behind you. Do you love the person that's sitting behind you? Have you been loving your brothers and sisters like you're supposed to? Or have you been walking around with idle chitter and chatter and gossip about them? What have you been doing to build them up? To help them? Do you talk about them when they don't show up because they're weak? Or do you call them and tell them how much you missed them and how much you love them? You see, if you understand the power of God's word, you will unleash it upon that person and in their life. I just called you, brother, to tell you we missed you in service. Let me tell you a little bit about what was taught in class, because I was paying attention and listening. And I know it helped me, and it can help you also. Won't you come next week? Sit next to me in the adult class. Go out to lunch with me afterwards. What are you doing for your brothers and sisters? Or all you doing is this? A lot of lip service talking about how they're so weak and how much they don't love. You see, when you obey God, you are unleashing the power of God in your life, and you are unleashing the power of God upon those who disobey God. Well, understand the power of the Bible. Not only that, but the Bible can tell us where we are going. Matthew, the whole 24th chapter, two places, two destinies, heaven or hell. A lot of people believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell for some reason. Whatever happened to hell? The same Bible that talks about heaven talks about hell. Jesus talks about hell more than he talks about heaven. And so if you believe in heaven, you have to believe in hell. The hell is real. Just as real as we're here today, some people are going to hell. Why? Because they do not love God. They are not obeying God. Some feel just compelled to come to worship just so you won't bother them. That's not loving God. Loving God is obeying God. God says we are his workmanship created. And listen to this, if you're just visiting with us, in Christ Jesus, Where have I been created? In Christ Jesus. And so you better understand how to get in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about that later on. But if you're not in the church, I guarantee you, you're not in Christ Jesus. And I'll prove it to you later on. And if you don't think I'll prove it to you, meet me at the back. And we'll sit down and we'll, as long as it takes, we'll open up God's word and let God be true. And so, we must obey God rather than men. Heaven or hell, where are we going? What is our destination? These things have I written so that you may know you have eternal life. So don't tell me I don't know. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. John chapter 20 and verse number 30 and 31 seconds that sentiment. The Bible is written so you may know you have eternal life. Which way are you going today? All those people heading for heaven, raise your hand. Put them up high. You ought to be, if you're headed for heaven, raise your hand. You ought to know which way you're going. You ought to know it. The Bible tells us how to worship an almighty God. That's in spirit and that's in truth. That's one reason it's powerful, because it's the word of God. It's the truth of God. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. Sanctify them through thy truth, or cleanse them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart through thy truth. That's what he's talking about by saying you're being set apart by the truth of God. The Bible is powerful because it tells us how to worship an almighty God. It gives us direction in life. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. The Bible is powerful because it tells us how to be saved from sin. James chapter 1 and verse number 21. He says that an implanted word is able to save our souls. It's the power of God's word that saves a man's soul. Bible tells us how to be born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. John chapter 3 and verse number 3 and following tells us that we must be born again. And 1 Peter tells us how it is that we're born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. And the same people you see in 1 Peter, read the whole chapter, you will see in Acts chapter 2. Those from Pontus, those from Cappadocia, those are the same ones that are going to be mentioned in Acts chapter 2. And so you must do exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2. Those are the people he said have been born again by incorruptible seed. The Bible is powerful. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. I'm not ashamed of the Bible or the word of God because it's powerful. Because it's powerful. Not ashamed of it. Are you ashamed of God's word? If you've been keeping to yourself, believe me, you're ashamed of it. You're ashamed of it because he said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Are you ashamed of the gospel this day? Or have you been going and trying to give the gospel to anyone who will listen, any way that you can? Have you written letters to your friend about becoming a Christian? When you send them a Christmas card, what do you send with it? Best wishes for the new year. How can they have best wishes for 2008 if they're not a Christian? How dare you insult somebody like that? Best wishes for 2008. I'm not going to tell you how to be a Christian, but best wishes for two. They're going to have a terrible 2008. Why? Because they're separated from God. Understand this. It's about the souls. I don't care if we're uncomfortable. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Quit being so timid. Quit being so afraid. That's what he was telling Timothy. Timothy, don't be timid. Take God's word out there. They're going to talk about me. No, take it out there. Well, they'll think I'm different. You are. You're peculiar. You're strange. You're God's own special person. That's what the Bible teaches. There is something different about you. You've been set apart to be used by God. That's what it means to be sanctified. I've been washed and set apart to be used and used only by God. And so it is that I seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. I'm about my Father's business like Jesus was. You understand it? The power of the Bible. It is powerful because it can help us grow in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2 is just like newborn babes. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because milk can help a baby grow. For the first year of my baby's life, and he's only 10 and a half months old, all he does is formula, formula, formula. He's starting to eat solid foods and stuff, but he still gets formula. Why? Because he needs that milk to grow. Understand that the Word of God can help you grow, and quit carrying it just to look good. And then it goes home and it sits down and gets dusted off on Wednesday, maybe, if you remember it. Where are them teenagers at? I'm talking to you. Teenagers like to come in not carrying a Bible. What is it, only incumbent upon adults to carry Bibles and live by this Bible? What about you? You're members of the church too. It saved your soul. Is it not incumbent upon you to study God's Word? Is it not incumbent upon you to go to your friends and tell them about God's Word? It's a shame here. You each need to put in your vocabulary this year that you're going to reach one and save one. The size of the teen group ought to double this time next year. Why? Because you're going to be out working for God. There's all kind of ways to go about it. I can't tell you how to do it. If you want some ways, maybe we can talk about that in the back. But there's all kind of ways that teens can reach out to other teens to help save their souls. And teens are open and free. They don't have all that muddle fuddle behind their minds like adults do. Adults have been brainwashed by denominations sometimes, and they've come out of denominations. I was one of them. Anybody else around here come out of denomination? I was Catholic. Anybody come out of the Baptist church around here? We got some came out. Anybody come out of the Jehovah's Witness around here? Catholic, Mormon, anything else? I was one of them that had to be sat down and had the power of God unleashed upon me to show me what it is that I must do for eternal salvation. How ridiculous the denominational world is. The denominational world wants you to think he's going to tell you to do something different, and you to do something else, and then you go wherever you feel comfortable. Go to the Catholics if you want. Go to the Baptists. But we're all united. How can we all be united and not speak the same thing? That's ridiculous. And don't tell me it can't be done. The United States Post Office does it all throughout the world. They're united. I don't care if you go to Chicago. I don't care if you go to New York. It's the same thing to pass a letter from Chicago to New York as it is from Seattle to Texas. Same postage. And if you weigh out that piece of mail, whether you're in Seattle, whether you're in Chicago, whether you're in New York, it costs the same thing if you're in the Philippines. So don't tell me that we can't all be united and all speak the same thing and be the same things. The world shows us it's possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. John chapter 17, God never wanted us to be divided. And so division is sinful. Oh, you must learn to unleash the power of the Bible in your life. If you're part of the denomination, and I know you are, because some people have asked me, what denomination? I'm not a part of the denomination. We're not a denomination. We are the church of Christ. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. That's why the Bible is powerful. It tells you about the church of Christ. The church you can read about in your own book called the Bible. The Bible is powerful because it can help one stay away from sin. Psalm book 119 and verse number 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. You want to know why some of us continue to fall into sin? Because we don't study this. The Bible says, your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. You see, what's on the inside is going to come out, folks. You will live like a Christian. You will be a Christian when you hide the word of God in your heart. That's why it's inside the heart. Why? So that none of your other Christian friends can't get to it. They can't get to it. It's in your heart. It's controlled by God, in other words. It will keep you from sin. Psalm book 19 and verse number 13, it will keep you from presumptuous sin, it says. Oh, the Bible is powerful because it makes man complete, makes man total. In other words, not perfect as in being without sin, but complete. Ready to do what God bids him to do. That's what he's talking about. It thoroughly completes a man. I'm able to do all that God asks me to do. Why? Because I have God's word. I have God's word. God is not going to put on me more than I'm able to bear. God's not going to ask me to do something that I cannot do. A matter of fact, let me drop this by, and this is free. God has never asked you to do but one thing that he has not first shown you how to do it. Let me say that again. God has never asked you to do but one thing
what he has not first shown you how to do. God says, love your enemies. First thing he utters from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, you can love your enemies because none of your enemies have ever crucified you. Don't tell me it's impossible to love your enemies. Christ has shown us how. He said, follow God. Follow the word. Christ showed us how to follow the word. Yet he did it without sin. So don't tell me we have to sin. Oh, that's just an excuse. We don't have to sin because Christ did not sin. He has shown us that it's possible to go through life and be sin free. What's the one thing that he tells us to do where he never has shown us? Repent. Obviously, he's never had anything to repent for. And so the Bible is powerful, shows us how to live. It makes us complete in this world. The Bible is powerful because it teaches us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 13 says this truth, and it's a truth that we in the Church of Christ need to get back to. Jesus says that my house shall be known as a house of prayer. Oh, how far away the Church of Christ is that from that today. Are we known as a house of prayer? Do people hunt you down because they know that you will pray for them? People ought to hunt you down, ought to be, tell the church to pray. I may not agree with everything you guys believe in, but tell the church to pray for me because I know you guys are praying people. Do we still have prayer meetings like we used to? Do we still have prayer partners? Oh, we need to be praying to God. It shows our dependency upon him. You see, I can't start a day without God's help. I can't end a day and think that I'm going to rest peacefully without God's help. I can't do the things that are necessary for that day without God's help. And so everything I go to God in prayer for. I thank him for my food. I thank him for the fact that I'm walking in the shoes that I'm walking in. I thank him for the car that I drive. I thank him for just being me. I thank him for my wife. I thank him for my children. I thank him for the books that I have to study about him. I thank him for his book, the Bible. I just thank God for everything that I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul says. Have we been praying to God? Letting them know how thankful we are? Or do we always pray just, God, give me, give me, give me? Sometime we need to get back to that. Letting God's house being known as a house of prayer. The Bible is powerful because of what it requires of us. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him. That's, in other words, to obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you for your good. It tells us what God requires of us. God wants you to obey him, period. That's what God wants. The Bible is powerful because it teaches us about the love of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 teaches us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is clearly seen in the Bible. The Bible is powerful because of simply how long it will last. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8 says the word of God will stand forever. God's word is not going away. It's not going away. It's always going to be here. It's always going to be here. The power of God's book, the Bible. What should be my response to it? How should I, as an individual, respond to the power of God's word? Well, number one, we need to keep it and love it. Psalm book 119 and verse number 167. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. How do you feel about the laws of God, the word of God? Do you love them? If you love them, you'll keep them. We need to meditate upon it. Psalm 119 and verse 15. I will meditate upon your precepts and contemplate your ways. Contemplate is just another word for study. I will not only meditate, it means study too. I will meditate upon your words. And I will study them. Why? Because of everything we said previously. What it can do for you. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, fine gold. How do you feel about God's commands? Here's the psalmist saying, I love them more than gold. I challenge you, go home and look up the price of gold per ounce. And then take whatever you weigh in pounds and change that to money in gold and see how much that's worth. Oh, it's worth a lot. It's worth a lot. I get up into the hundred thousands. And he says, I love your word more. He said, if there's a stack of gold bars, in other words, if I could have Fort Knox, I'll take your word over Fort Knox, God, because that's how much I love your word. What should be my response to it? Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse number 10. Therefore, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God. We ought to obey God rather than men. My response ought to be, I need to teach it. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7 says, I need to teach it. Matthew 28 says to all people. Deuteronomy says specifically to your children. When they get up, when they lay down, you teach your children. Who have you been teaching your children? You think it's the Bible class's responsibility to teach your children? That's not what God says. It's the Bible class's responsibility to assist in the teaching that you're already doing. That's what God's word says. Face it. The Bible is not only powerful, but it is faithful. It is broad. It is right. It is wonderful. It is pure. It is righteous. It is profitable. It is everlasting. The Bible is simply a book that cannot be ignored. It's a book that demands to be taken seriously. And if we as God's children, and if we as this world will take God's word seriously, it has the power to change our lives. And because our lives are changed, it has the power to change our families. And because our families have been changed by it, it will have the power to change our communities. And once our communities are affected by it, it will have the power to change our states. And once the states are changed, it has the power to change our continent. And once the continent is changed, it has the power to change the world. It is the all-powerful, the almighty book of God. That is why in Psalm 119, verse 89, he says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God said it, that settles it. And now for you that are here for the first time, or I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, not what I think or feel you must do to be a Christian. The Bible says that you must hear the word of God. This you have done. That is obvious that you must hear God's word. The Bible teaches that. But not only that, the Bible says you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse number 24. Most people don't have problems with that. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. It's impossible to please God without faith. Most people don't have problems with it. But where people come in with problems is when they want to stop and say faith only. And you won't find that in the Bible. The Bible nowhere but one place says faith only. And it says not by faith only does a man please God. And so we know it's not faith only. I'm going to show you, I'm going to illustrate it later. Those who believe it's faith only, then stop right there. But yet the Bible says he commands all men everywhere to repent. You see, this is a command of God that we repent. Luke 13:3 says, repent or perish. And if all you had to do was have faith and you stopped there, then you're telling me you can go to heaven without obeying a command of God. Yet he commanded all men every year to repent. Acts 17 and verse number 30. Well, we know that that's not true. The Bible not only says that you must hear, you must believe, that you must repent, but it says you must confess. Romans 10:10 says it's with the mouth that confession is made unto righteousness. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32 says it's with your life that you confess God. The life that you live shows that you have confessed God to be your Savior. He says,